ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Text 17, Canto 7, Chapter 14. Nahi agni makato yambai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Yajeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutai Nahi agni mukato yambai Bhagavan sarva yagya bhuk Yajeta havisha rajan Yata vipra mukhe hutai Na, not, he, indeed, agni, fire Mukataha, from the mouth, or the flames. Ayam, this. Vai, certainly. Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna. Sarva Yagya Bhuk, the enjoyer of the results of all kinds of sacrifices. Yajeta, is worshipped. Habisha, by offering of clarified butter. Rajan, O king, yatha, as much as. Vipramukhe, through the mouth of a brahmana. Hutai, by offering him first class food. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the enjoyer of sacrificial offerings, yet although his lordship eats the oblations offered in the fire, my dear king, he is still more satisfied when nice food made of grains and ghee is offered to him through the mouths of qualified brahmanas. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:9, it's been repeated many times. Yagnar tat karma non yatra loko yam karma bhandana. All fruit of activity should be performed for sacrifice, which should be directed toward pleasing Krishna. As stated elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. He is the Supreme Lord and enjoyer of everything. However, although sacrifice may be offered to please Krishna, he is more pleased when grains and ghee, instead of being offered in the fire, are prepared as prasad and distributed first to the brahmanas and then to others. This system pleases Krishna more than anything else. Furthermore, at the present time, there is very little chance to offer sacrifices by pouring oblations of food, grains, and ghee into the fire, especially in India. There's practically no ghee for everything that should be done with ghee. People use a certain type of oil preparation. Oil, however, is never recommended for offering in a sacrificial fire. In Kali Yuga, the available quantity of food grains and ghee is gradually diminishing and people are embarrassed that they cannot produce sufficient ghee and food grains under the circumstances the Shastras enjoin. Yagyai sankirtana prayayar yajanti hi sumedasaha. In this age, those who are intellectual offer yagya or perform sacrifice to the sankirtan movement. Everyone should join the sankirtan movement, offering to the fire of this movement the oblations of his knowledge and riches. In our sankirtan movement or Hare Krishna movement, we offer sumptuous prasad to the deity and later distribute the same prasad to the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, and then to the people in general. Krishna's prasad is offered to the brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and the prasad of the brahmanas and Vaishnavas is offered to the general populace. This kind of sacrifice, dash, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and distribution of prasad is the most perfect and bona fide way of offering sacrifice for the pleasure of Yajna or Vishnu. The chapter is presenting standards of behavior for a householder, and the chapter is indicating the purpose behind those behaviors for a householder, and the chapter is in the purport. Prabhupada is giving us the application of those, the principles of those behaviors as appropriate for our present age. The refrain of, in the middle one, that is, you know, the purpose behind the duties of a householder is to satisfy Vishnu, and that's being repeated over and over. The behavior, that's the first part, that's this process of sacrifice, same as in chapter 3, mentioned again and again in the purports. I've been making a little emphasis in classes on this topic that the Vedic process goes from above the unregulated to the regulated, and the regulated starts with karma kanda, and then it goes sakam karma yoga, nishkam karma yoga, and so forth. The ladder goes up and up, depending upon the intention of the performer. And that has a lot to do with guidance of the person who is helping the sincere person. So the sincere person, by the mercy of Krishna, may be given the opportunity to associate with a qualified Vaishnav, meaning someone who's carrying bhakti, and then the bhakti performer, Vaishnav, can guide a new person to a gradual progression according to their faith and their what they're accustomed to. Just a couple of examples of that. One example is Bhakti Tirtha Swami was very keen on presenting himself according to the audience. As an example, if he was addressing an African-American audience in Washington, D.C., he'd dress in African-American garb, because the outside, with a black body and the clothing that looks like, you know, an African person, those people felt really comfortable. And then he would give the message of Krishna consciousness suitable to the audience. And then he would interact with a Christian audience. And then he wouldn't necessarily dress in African-American garb. But, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The packaging was to help the audience. And he was giving, in discussions, he was giving me examples of very close relationships that he had with ministers who, in their church, were speaking Bhagavad Gita's message. They weren't saying it's Bhagavad Gita's message. It was a Christian message. But it was peppered with or embedded with or very clearly Prabhupada's teachings from the pulpit, from the Christian church, as a for example. And other applications of that same principle. Because the principles are universal, and what's important is the principle. So now another example, any of us that have made acquaintance with people who have, it's really, well, the opportunity that we have as followers of our sampradaya is that we have an opportunity in presenting Krishna consciousness to meet all kinds of people that come from all different kinds of backgrounds. And Devamrita Swami and I were discussing this like 2 weeks ago. The attraction, he was very surprised from his experience of interacting with college students in Philadelphia, because he's has a base of activity there. Huge interest. Huge interest. He was going on and on about it. You know, the level of spiritual attraction that people have from all different backgrounds. Not just, you know, his not just non-resident Indian people, but all kinds of people, spiritual interest, and again, packaging according to the audience, and huge interest. So just yesterday, as an example of this, I met a little gathering at UIC, and it was all non-resident Indians, you know, very different. I was noting when I was going with others that have our temple brahmacharis that are non-resident Indians, the group was entirely, you know, Western people. Now it's entirely non-resident Indians. I think it has something to do with who the presenter is. Anyway, although it's Yasodhananda, that's what was coming to the program. So afterwards, nice discussion with a young PhD student who comes from a religious family, and he says his prayers and he does his this and that, and in short, you know, that searching for that which will connect him with the highest truth, or, you know, the life's ultimate mission. He wasn't using that language, but that was what was coming from him. And he understood that he hadn't found it, although he was doing his religious things. So how to take a person when that's very special. There are others that were there for other reasons, but he was kind of like on a quest, searching and seeking and inquiring and wanting to connect. So how to help such a person feel comfortable making a connection that allows them to take the next step, the next step, the next step, from whatever their position is, accepting whatever their position is, and helping them see what their position is and see what the next step might be, and then the next step, and then the next step. And, you know, different people have using Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's phrase, antakarana, they have different subtle bodies, different faiths, different impressions, different upadis, not just, you know, the body ones, you know, the subtle ones. And sensitively recognizing whatever that is, and accepting whatever that is, and helping the person see what might be the next step towards life's mission, life's ultimate mission. It's really joyful opportunity. Our own false ego can easily get in the way, and our own conceptions of what's good for people and all that stuff can easily get in the way. Our own upadis can easily get in the way. But becoming a transparent medium for the message of Krishna consciousness is thrilling. So how that applies to this section of the Bhagavatam, just touching on the puzzle of why is Srimad Bhagavatam, where it's Yajyai Sankirtana Prayaya Yajantihi Samedasaha, speaking about these other things. These other things of, you know, sacrifice of ghee and grains into the fire, and, you know, it's a different process. Very clearly in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, that's not suitable for this age, this is suitable, and the next, that's not suitable, this is suitable. So why did it just say what's suitable? Well, some persons aren't ready to do what's suitable. They have their ideas or their position on what is being religious and what's acceptable and what's normal. And just the same idea as why is Krishna in third chapter Bhagavad Gita literally introducing karmakanda, and then follow very carefully, and he takes you beyond karmakanda to karma yoga and so forth and so on. Because it's the principle, according to the audience. He's speaking to Arjuna, but he's speaking to the world for this entire age where people are misguided. It's specifically for this age. It's a juncture, it's which Krishna's come to give dharma appropriate for this age. That's why it's such enduring literature. It's very appropriate, although people don't understand it commonly. The messages are there. How to go from where you are to the next, to the next, to the next. And then those that are really intelligent, they just go direct. But there's others that are not so inclined and don't have that faith and are not so comfortable, and so make a connection with Vishnu this other way. And so within the verse, there's the word Agni, and some persons, you know, in this level, they think you're worshiping a god, Agnidev. You're offering oblations to Agnidev, something like that. Some have, when we discussed this yesterday, some it's just impersonal Brahman, because you're just, yajna means Brahman, because that's their aspiration. And then there's Lord Vishnu. And some persons, this third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and here in this chapter, things of necessities, things that people desire, they're provided. So I do this because I get that. It's sakama. It's not pure devotion. And then I was thinking of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So this is describing people in this earthly realm, and people that really become really interested, they may go to the heavenly planets, and there are those that even go beyond the heavenly planets. Brihat Bhagavatamrita describes Maharloka, that's planetary system number 4 above Swargaloka. Maharloka, Janloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. So in Maharloka, it's very interesting. It's beyond the people that are commonly, by and large, through the large part, engaged in sacrifices to attain prosperity in this life, as described, and attaining more prosperity in the heavenly realm. And people that have gone beyond that aspiration, they actually just want Vishnu. They want that association with Vishnu. As the verse here is saying, Agni Mukata. Agni Mukata. So Mukha means face or even more specifically, in this case, mouth, that part of the face. And when offering oblations into the fire, anyone that trains people how to do yagyas will teach, the flame represents the tongue of Vishnu. So you're offering ghee and grains to the tongue of Vishnu. Swaha, swaha, swaha. Now Vishnu is literally, eating or receiving through his mouth into the fire, oblations, offerings. So it's Vishnu. Whatever are the other mantras and the other devas and Ganesh and so forth, it's Vishnu. And in Maharloka, the place is a residence for householders, because above that is Tapaloka, where there's no householders, it's celibate brahmachari. But even in this Maharloka, the family husband-wife program is not with, the sense gratification of heavenly region or earthly region. It's not husband-wife for that reason. It's the wife is assisting the husband in the performance of sacrifice, because that's what she does, and what he does is the sacrifice. And when they're offering oblations into the fire, Lord Vishnu appears. There's a very beautiful painting in Brihad Bhagavatamrita where Lord Vishnu has his arms outstretched. Not his mouth, but his arms. He's receiving their offerings. So they want to see Vishnu. So they perform long yagyas. And as soon as the yagya is over, Vishnu recedes. And they get the next yagya ready and then do the next yagya, because their interest is Vishnu. And the commentary, again, it's from Sanatana Goswami. Gopi Puranadana has provided, a summary of his commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There are Sakam Bhaktas doing this yagya. Although they're doing yagya, they're Bhaktas, because their interest is Vishnu exclusively. And then they may come to Nishkam Bhaktas. And they may, according to Sanatana Goswami, some may attain Vaikuntha Loka. Not many. So Gopa Kumar wants to keep going, and he keeps going. And Prabhupada is providing us just some appreciation with this word in the second line, Bhagavan. And he just, it's Sri Krishna. The person who is receiving the sacrifice is Vishnu, or Yajna, which is a name of Vishnu, receiving Yajna. Yajna is for Yajna, for the Supreme Lord, Yajna. But it's Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, because that's what the Bhagavatam is taking us to Krishna. It's a treatise on Krishna. The absolute supreme personality of Godhead, and in case there's any doubt about it, the principal statement of the entire Bhagavatam is the very famous one where Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is, that's the absolute truth, the source of all avatars and yajna and Vishnu and any other form of the Lord. So ultimately, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, he is the Bhokta of the Yajna, and he is the Ishwara of all lokas. Now he may do those things through Vishnu, because the creation is through Vishnu, but he's the ultimate beneficiary, Krishna. If we follow the Bhagavatam carefully under proper guidance, we'll get the principle and then ultimately the destination. So now concluding, the second half of the verse is, although that's pleasing to Lord Vishnu, even more pleasing is nicely prepared foods offered to the brahmanas. And that's more pleasing to Krishna than the yajnas, where oblations are offered into the fire where he's being fed and pleased and devoted. It's pleasing the devotees of the Lord. And so therefore, back to, you know, making connection with the previous verses stated by Narada Muni, householders, by performance of yajna, they'll have these two things. The fruits of pious activity is wealth and knowledge. There's others. And then those, that wealth and that knowledge or intelligence should be applied in the service of the Sankirtan movement because it's meant for this age. It's appropriate for this age. It's most suitable for this age. And so the way that this is helping us, Hare Krishna devotees, become very clear why we do what we do. It's our theology behind why we do what we do. We do what we do just because we have faith in our founder, Acharya, and we feel happy when we do the things that he's asked. This is the scriptural basis for why we do what we do. It's the most pleasing to the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So now then we can go back down and say, well, we can also extend Krishna consciousness to others in these other forms because, you know, they're comfortable with them. So, you know, it's a strategy or an approach or something. I was thinking, appreciating actually, Mukunda's question yesterday morning. He's not here this morning. But, you know, that social activism thing, because it's out there. Young people, those of you that are young, you know, social activism is a big deal. And that's like their religion. The godlessness of social activism is making the world a better place and you know, complaining about the people that screwed things up and, you know, following their path and doing it the right way and causes and so forth. I'm tempted to make a comment about Donald Trump, but I don't know if it's appropriate for Bhagavatam class. I don't know what the appeal is. But, you know, his baseball cap says, make America great again, or something like that. Bring back the greatness of America. Nationalism. You know, Hare Krishna. Where's God? In God we trust, and the reason why people came to America to begin with, you know. Anyway, I don't want to go into it. minus the principles given within the Vedas, people are so easily misled. It's embarrassing and sad and scary all at the same time. We've got a lot of work to do to give principles to the, you know, people that want principles and want to live where there's shelter and not craziness. Because I spend time in China, the Chinese government is cashing in on the madness of, see, just see how democracy is useless. Because, you know, a guy like Donald Trump is popular. It's useless. They're right. What to do? Well, you know, social activism for us is go on Harinama, distribute Prabhupada's books. And we may do other things also, but, you know, when we do those other things also, it's the holy name and transcendental literature. I'll just share this with you. Long ago, in our temple in New York, and in Henry Street, Brooklyn, you know, felt Hare Krishna movement started at 26 Second Avenue. They outgrew the space. They went to a across the street loft space, 61 Second Avenue, and then they outgrew that, and so a place was rented in Brooklyn. Rented place. Henry Street, Brooklyn. In a heavy Italian neighborhood. It was interesting being there. The Hare Krishna movement was expanding like anything during that period of time, and some of the persons who were becoming devotees were professional actors in Manhattan. So they formed a theatrical group, and they did elaborate dramas. Really fantastic. They called themselves the Vaikuntha Players, and very, very elaborate, you know, script writing and costuming and this thing and that thing. And you know, it was largely for the temple, but then they got excited and let's do something outside. And so I remember specifically, sitting in the room, it was in Prabhupada's quarters, and he was asking how is, you know, getting a report from them on the Vaikuntha Players and what they were up to. And they were saying this and that. So many people came, and Prabhupada was listening and said, "And how many books did you distribute?" "Oh, we didn't bring books, Prabhupada." "You must distribute books. You must distribute books." That was like, you know, the barometer of the success. So distribute prasadam, distribute books, chant the holy name, and do all kinds of things to help attract people to Krishna's lotus feet, including these other things. If you know that's Vedic and it's the Bhagavatam. But make sure, you know, the holy name and Prabhupada's books and Krishna Prasadam are there, and people hear what's the purpose of this. Some people, you know, don't want to hear that part. But we're going to say that part because that's what the purpose of those other things are. We do it nicely. But we will do it. We must do it. That's our social activism. Touching the hearts of people in various ways. There's no discredit for doing the various ways. The essence must be there, and the demonstration of the essence being there is people come to the lotus feet of Krishna and they take up, in course of time at least, the chanting of the holy name and receiving guidance from a qualified devotee to connect them. This is exactly, you know, circling back to the discussion at UIC yesterday, connecting with the disciplic succession so that the yoga isn't nashta, and then, you know, confusing, and doesn't deliver Krishna, and so people go into something else and go to something else and get washed away by the degradation of the age of Kali. There must be shelter. So we want to provide that shelter in sensible ways, in practical ways, approachable ways, with understanding the principles of why we do what we do. I'll end there and see if there's any comments, questions. So, Paul, you have something? No? Are you feeling well? Not so well? Okay. We missed you this morning. You're cheerful. Presence was noticeable by its absence. Anything?